And now, the life of Mary Southern. The mill workers of Sanders had scheduled a meeting for 7 o'clock tonight. They were voting on whether or not to keep Max Sanders, Mary Southern's husband, in his present position of town manager. Mary didn't want Max to go to the meeting because she knew there'd be trouble, as Gerald Proust and Merlin Davis, local businessmen, have incited the men against Max. Both men envy Max's position in Sanders. Max, however, insisted on going, but he arrived an hour late, and to his complete surprise, the hall was dark. What could possibly have happened to postpone this all-important meeting? The lights have been turned off in the main hall, but a small bulb is burning in a little office just behind the platform. Gerald Proust and Merlin Davis are in there talking.
I tell you, Proust, I can't understand it. It's the most perplexing situation I've ever been up against.
Now you're perplexed, eh, Davis? You're going to handle it so beautifully. You said the men couldn't wait until you got there to vote against Max Sanders. You manipulated so cleverly, always looking for a little pat on the back for your brilliant maneuvers. Well, this one was certainly brilliant.
Look here, Gerald Proust, I'm as upset as you are about what happened here tonight. But I don't shout, and I don't make accusations. If I did, I might mention that you are as much to blame, if anyone is, as I am.
That's ridiculous. This meeting was left entirely up to you.
And I did my part. Up until 7 o'clock this evening, everything worked according to schedule.
Will you kindly tell me what happened then?
I would if I knew. All I know is the men were supposed to meet at 7 sharp. The vote to be taken as soon as the men assembled. Well, you know what happened. Only about half of the men showed up. And their rules say that three-quarters must be present to take a vote.
What happened to the rest of the men?
My dear friend, if I knew, would I keep it a secret?
I don't know what anyone would do anymore. When a thing like this happens, after being practically positive it couldn't, I give up.
Someone has been doing some undercover work somewhere. A thing like this doesn't just happen.
It must be Max Sanders. He's got around the men some way.
You're wrong. He came here just as the last of the men were leaving. And he was as surprised as we were.
He was probably putting on an act. He's the type to do that.
I'm pretty sure he wasn't. If he was, he's the best actor I've ever seen in my life.
Well, if you don't think he knew that half of the man wouldn't be there, how do you account for it?
I told you, I don't know.
There's an explanation for everything. There must be one for this.
I'm as anxious to find out as you are. After all, having Max Sanders removed from office is just as important to me. I want to close that deal with Jeffrey Barton before he does.
I thought I was doing that.
Really, Bruce? I believe we went over all this. You wanted the title of town manager. Very well. I agree. Your wife is anxious to put Mary Southern out of Sanders' mansion and move there herself. I agreed to that also. But the actual business negotiations was to be my department. That was understood.
Well, by the looks of things, we're both left holding the bag. Say, I wonder if Mary Southern had anything to do with those men not showing up.
How could she prevent them?
Oh, she's a smart woman and too darn smart. If it hadn't been for her, Max Sanders would have been run out of town long ago.
Women can use their influence a little now and then, but after all, this is a man's world. And when it comes to anything of this importance, women quite definitely have nothing to say.
I guess I'll have to agree with you there, Davis. Of course, they do a lot of talking. I'll admit even my own wife does. But when it comes to actual doing, a woman is helpless. And especially on a thing as important as this mill meeting. A woman couldn't possibly have prevented that.
Well, they did it, Mary. The women did it. They prevented the meeting tonight.
What? Oh. Why, Mrs. Brown, what did you just say? Did I hear correctly?
Oh, yes, Mary, you did. Oh, let me come in and sit down. I'm all out of breath. I hurried to get up here to tell you.
Oh, of course, come in here.
Oh, dear.
Why, my dear, you must have been running.
I was. All the way up the hill.
Well, Mrs. Brown, tell me, did you say there wasn't a meeting tonight?
That's what I said. Oh, here. Let me sit down.
Oh. What happened? How was it prevented?
Oh, Mrs. Brown, I'm so excited. Oh, just a minute till I catch my breath. Then I'll tell you the whole story.
I can hardly believe it. I've been sitting here praying that Max is safe and that there isn't any trouble at the house.
Oh, now, dear, you just relax. The hall is closed, and the men are probably home by this time. Max will be along soon, I expect.
Well, it's only a little past 8. Well, I was certain the meeting would last until midnight.
It probably would have if there had been a meeting. But we girls thought to it that there wasn't.
Well, how did you ever do it?
Oh, well, men are funny, Mary. They have an idea they run this world, and they get up on their hind legs if they think a woman dictating to them.
Don't I know that? I tried to keep Max away from that meeting with a logical argument, and naturally it was the worst method I could have used.
Oh, land's sake, yes. I know how my William is. You tell him to do a thing, and he's stubborn as a mule. All men are like that.
Well, then how on earth did you ever manage this thing tonight?
Well, Mary, it was really your idea.
My idea?
Why, yes. Maybe you don't remember this, but a few weeks ago, I asked you right out if Max was guilty of all those awful things folks were saying about him. You know, that gambling trouble and all.
And I told you he wasn't. Mm-hmm. That he was really trying to have the ringleaders of that gambling syndicate arrested.
I believed you, Mary. Your word has always been good enough for me.
Thank you, Mrs. Brown. But how did that help you in what you did?
Well, I'm coming to that. I said, Mary, it's going to be mighty hard to make other folks have faith in Max because this Gerald Proust and Mr. Davis have been stirring the men up so.
Mm-hmm.
Then you said Mr. Proust and Mr. Davis had given the men a cause to fight for, and even if it was the wrong one, like this was, it's human nature to fight for a cause.
It is. People have done that since the world began.
Well, I decided if they could steam things up with the men for a wrong cause, I could do the same thing with the women for a right one. I tell you, I covered plenty of ground in the last few days, Mary. I must have talked to over 100 women.
Well, what did you advise them to do? It was too late to sway the minds of the men.
Oh, I didn't try to do that. We girls talked it over, and we could see it was downright foolish to turn Max out just when he was trying to do something for Sanders. So we worked in secret. It was real exciting.
Well, what did you do? How did you manage?
Well, we just let them go on planning for the meeting. And tonight, every wife pulled some little stunt to keep her man home.
Oh, you mean just simple little things like headaches or minding the children?
You struck it, Mary. Mrs. Graham got her sister to phone her to come right over. So Harry Graham had to stay home and mind the children. Emma Sparks had a tooth pulled. Oh, she needed it out anyway, and it was a good excuse to keep Charlie in the house.
And all those women kept their men at home,
mm-hmm. Well, maybe not all, but enough to put the kibosh on any voting tonight.
Mrs. Brown, how will I ever thank you?
Oh, now, don't you mention it, Mary. I want to fix that Gerald Proust anyway. He and his wife, that Henrietta Proust, they go around putting on airs. Why, you'd think other people would jerk the way they stick up their noses.
Well, we won't have to worry about them after tomorrow, Mrs. Brown. Jeffrey Barton's coming here with all the papers ready to close the proposition.
Oh, my, my, I'm glad. Well, it's been awful slack down at the mill.
Oh, this plan will be a godsend to Sanders. Wait until Max gets here and he'll tell you all about their plan.
Oh, I can't stay, Mary. I've got to run along home or my William will think I got lost.
Oh, did Bill know you were talking to the women?
Oh, man, no. And don't you tell Max. We're all going to play dumb if the men start asking questions.
All right. I'm in the conspiracy, too.
We'll all hang together, Mary. Well, goodbye, dear.
Goodbye. And thank you so much.
Now, that's all right. Just don't you worry anymore.
I haven't a reason in the world to worry, Mrs. Brown. Now that I know Max is safe. Goodbye.
Goodbye, dear.
Well, there isn't any use in our talking all night, Proust. We might as well go home and get some sleep. We'll look into this thing more thoroughly tomorrow.
I suppose so. Well, let me tell you one thing, Davis. I'm getting to the bottom of this, and it's the last thing I do.
All right, all right. I'm with you. Let's go now.
I'll put out the light.
Turned cooler this evening.
I wouldn't notice it. The frame of mind, I mean.
We'll take care of everything tomorrow. This is only a temporary delay. Will these two angry, desperate men, what will they do now? We didn't like the sound of Merlin Davis's last remark. Will the failure of the mill workers to vote prove only a temporary delay in the working out of their plot?